The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, February 26th through Sunday, March 3rd, 2024. The commentary for February was written by Julia Ayala Harris, who serves as the president of the House of Deputies, the first Latina and woman of color elected to the position. The commentary for March was written by Troy Mendez, Dean of Trinity Episcopal Cathedral, a historic and vibrant downtown Phoenix congregation. He's also active on the Board of Trustees of Virginia Theological Seminary and the General Theological Seminary. He is passionate about the church offering to all people a sense of belonging and the grace of new life given to us in Jesus Christ. The commentary for Monday, February 26th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Mark. This is chapter 3, verse 9. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. Here's the commentary. This passage reminds me of the importance of both community and solitude in our spiritual journeys. On the one hand, we are called to be part of a Christian community, to share in fellowship, worship, and service with others. The crowds that followed Jesus sought connection with him and one another, and they found healing and hope in that communal experience. On the other hand, we also need solitude and retreat to deepen our relationship with God. Jesus withdrew from the crowds to spend time in prayer and to select his disciples. Likewise, we need to carve out intentional times of stillness and silence. Listen for God's voice and discern God's will for our lives. We are reminded of the importance of community, relationships, solitude, and surrender in our spiritual lives. May we seek to follow Jesus both amid the crowds and in the quiet moments of our lives, trusting in God's grace and guidance at each step. And now I'm going to read from the full scripture for today, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 7 through 19a. Jesus departed with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. Hearing all that he was doing, they came to him in great numbers from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, beyond the Jordan, and the region around Tyre and Sidon. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. For he had cured many, so that all who had diseases pressed upon him to touch him. Whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and shouted, "You are the Son of God!" But he sternly ordered them not to make him known. He went up the mountain and called to him those whom he wanted, and they came to him, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, to be with him, and to be sent out to proclaim the message, and to have authority to cast out demons. So he appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, and Andrew and Philip, and Bartholomew and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And the moving forward question for this Monday, February 26th, is how can you better balance community and solitude in your spiritual life? The commentary for Tuesday, February 27th, begins with the Psalm 61, verse 8. So will I always sing the praise of your name, and day by day I will fulfill my vows. And on this Tuesday, February 27th, we commemorate George Herbert. Here's the commentary. In honor of George Herbert, poet divine, we celebrate with an original poem, A Life of Words That Shine. His verses flowed with heavenly grace and touched the hearts of the human race. With pen in hand, he wrote of love and faith, and found in God a source of endless grace. His poems spoke of things both great and small, and filled our souls with hope and peace for all. O George Herbert, your legacy lives on as your words continue to inspire and to dawn. The light of truth, of beauty, and of love that shines from the heavens and lifts us above. So let us honor your life with joy and praise and carry on your message through all our days. For in your poems we find a lasting light that guides us through the darkness of the night. And now I'm going to read the full Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you are my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me abide in your tent forever. Find refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So I will always sing praises to your name as I pay my vows day after day. And the moving forward suggestion for this Tuesday, the day we celebrate George Herbert, the great poet, is to research and reflect upon some of George Herbert's poems and then share them with others. And now the commentary for Wednesday, February 28th. It begins with Psalm 72, verse 4. He shall defend the needy among the people. He shall rescue the poor and crush the oppressor. Born in 1858, Anna Julia Hayward Cooper was an author, scholar, black liberation activist, and the fourth black woman to earn a doctoral degree. Her writings were ahead of their time and still resonate with us today. She believed that education was vital to empowerment, and she tirelessly fought for equal access to education for all. Her voice, A Voice from the South, remains a classic in black feminist literature and a powerful call for recognizing the intersectionality of race and gender in social justice. Cooper believed that true equality and justice could only be achieved through a moral and spiritual awakening, and she saw the gospel of Jesus Christ as a powerful force for this social change. She believed the teachings of Jesus provided a framework for treating all people with dignity and respect. As we honor Cooper today, may we remember her powerful witness that actual change requires not just political or economic action, but a more profound spiritual and moral transformation. And now I'm going to read from the full Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound, until the moon is no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. May his foes bow down before him, and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Saba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations give him service. For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all day long. May there be abundance of grain in the land. May it wave on the tops of the mountains. May its fruit be like Lebanon, and may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May all nations be blessed in him. May they pronounce him happy. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May his glory fill the whole earth. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, son of Jesse, are ended. And now the moving forward question for this day is, what role should we as Christians claim in the public square? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, February 29th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 31a. It is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God is not always visible to us in its fullness, but it is constantly growing and expanding. Like the mustard seed, which starts as the tiniest of all seeds, the kingdom of God begins small and unassuming. But with time and nurturing, it grows into something magnificent and abundant. This passage also reminds us that even the smallest of our efforts to spread God's love can significantly impact the world. Just like the mustard seed that grows into a large tree and provides shelter for birds, our small acts of kindness and love can give comfort and support to those around us. Let us take heart in the knowledge that our efforts to spread God's love and kindness, no matter how small they may seem, can have a profound impact on the world. And let us trust in God's infinite wisdom and grace to nurture and grow the kingdom of God, just as the mustard seed grows into a large and fruitful tree. And now I'm going to read the full passage for today's gospel from Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 34. He said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under the bushel basket or under the bed and not on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be disclosed, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Let anyone with ears to hear listen." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you will give will be the measure you will get, and still more will be given to you. For to those who have more, to those who have, more will be given. And from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. He also said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. And the moving forward suggestion for this Thursday, February 29th, is plant some mustard seeds, metaphorical ones and real ones, if you like. Now we turn to the commentary for Friday, March 1st, the day on which we celebrate the feast day of St. David of Wales. It begins with a passage from Mark chapter 4, verse 37. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. Even though Mark tells us that other boats were alongside them, the disciples are terrified of crossing the 8-mile stretch of the Sea of Galilee. Interestingly enough, today's Saint, David of Wales, decided in the 6th century to embark on a 6,000-mile round-trip pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Back home, he had already witnessed atrocious acts of warfare on the Isle of Great Britain. And so the tempestuous voyage by sea must have been worth all the glory of arriving in the Holy Land. No matter how many storms he endured, the deep peace of Jesus calmed every storm imaginable. We live in a world of endless change. Storms rage and uncertainty is everywhere. Yet Jesus sleeps in the boat. God is truly in control, but how do we have the same deep peace that abides in the heart of Christ? If we had it, imagine how well we could rest, no matter what life might throw at us. And now I'm going to read the full passage from this gospel, Mark 4, verses 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And the moving forward question for this Friday is, are you in the midst of a great storm? Take comfort in the arms of Jesus. Now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, March 2nd, the day that we observe the feast day of Chad of Lichfield. It begins with a Psalm 27, verse 17. What if I had not believed then I should see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The number of pastoral relationships Chad of Litchfield developed in his ministry probably surpasses any bishop nowadays. In the 600s, Chad traversed the North England, the north of England, on foot for much of his episcopate. He modeled his ministry after the apostles, and history remembers his gentle leadership. Many of our lives changed dramatically during the early days of COVID-19 isolation. Unable to be close in proximity indoors, many people took to the streets. We became a part of the day-to-day life of people around us, lives that we had never paid attention to previously. We were changed by the experience. The disciples were sent on foot to every town where Jesus intended to go to establish new relationships and connections with others. In the same way, our connections with others must leave open the possibility to see God's goodness through encounters with people at the most unexpected times, in the most random of places. Now I'm going to read from the full passage of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord that I will seek thereafter, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on the level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And the moving forward suggestion for this Saturday, make time to talk with a neighbor. And we conclude the program and this week with the commentary for Sunday, March 3rd, the third Sunday of Lent. It begins with a passage from John chapter 2, verse 22. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Memory can serve as an important tool for building up our spiritual lives. So much of the disciples' interpretation of Jesus comes from what they remembered about him. The same goes for us, especially when reflecting on our faith formation. How many of us had grandparents who shared stories about their respective walks with God? How many of us remember brilliant nuggets of wisdom that our teachers taught us? Our memory sustains us and helps us see beyond the original moment. Through memory, we can be drawn into a lifetime of endless possibilities of reflection and wonder. The living God permeates our intellect and rejoices at our inquiry. We are transported into a realm where our minds are drawn more fully into the mystery of God and God's wisdom. What our younger minds remembered can now be more fully explored. Our memory propels us to a space where encounters with Christ transform our souls and make us even more fully alive. And now I'll read from the passage of the Gospel today from John 2, verses 13 through 25. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. When he was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in his name because they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, would not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to testify about anyone, for he himself knew what was in everyone. And the moving forward statement for this Sunday, March 3rd, give thanks for a special memory that has formed you. That's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.